Well, good morning, church. It is a pleasure to come back here and see familiar faces, and I'm always quite amazed. I'm not often invited back after I speak. It's very nice of you to come back and hear me again, and it also presents a challenge in that, I have shared about everything I can share with you over the years. So I have to go on what happened this year, what happened last year, what happened recently, and so the Lord's been able to do that. But I recall, as I say, I haven't often been invited back. I was given, Dave gave me this beautiful, the worship, sequence here this morning, and I'm looking on it, and it says sermon. Well, there's times by everything, see, and it totals 36 minutes. And there's zero time for the sermon, so I don't know. Maybe this is my last time here. I don't know. I've already disappointed some of you. I'm going to go a little past. Brother Floyd, thank you. That was so nice. Partially untrue, but it was very nice. The part about I don't know what you called him, but I wouldn't fill up a page. Look. One of the things I want to do, and I need to do before I speak, is I have to frame what I'm going to share in a couple perspectives. First, this isn't about me, okay? This is about the power of God's word. And I pray that through what you hear and see in pictures, you understand it's the power of God's word. I pray I adequately convey that to you. Part of the problem is there's all kind of pictures of me. Okay, and it's very gratuitous, but understand, when we're in another country and we're distributing the word of God and witnessing, I'm not taking pictures. My team is taking pictures, and typically they're taking pictures of me. And it's a little unsettling, a little weird, but I just hope that through this all that you'll understand that. I think the other thing I want to frame is the time. As we look in Scripture often, it's important to frame the time of certain things that were happening in Scripture. And I want to frame the time of when this particular Scripture blitz took place. I want to share something that typically is shared with Gideons. This presentation here would be shared typically with Gideons, okay? It's typically not something we would bring into the church and share, but I felt with this church, having had the opportunity to share a number of times, I did share a little bit about when I was in Indonesia, and I had a lot of wonderful comments and prayers from you from that. So I thought, you know what? I think I'll frame this speech today, this discussion today, in the context of what happened in Mexico. So the time's so important. This occurred in late February 2020, early March. I actually returned home on March the 3rd. My wife was completely across the planet. She was at the time in India, ministering in India, and my daughter Emily here. And so I was in Mexico, they were in India, and we started to hear about this virus thing. And I have to tell you, when you're on a scripture blitz, you're not watching TV. You don't get much time for any of that. So this was about the time this thing was really percolating and people were just starting to hear about it. And it became fairly serious, very fast. And I knew nothing of what was going on, per se. There were no masks, there were no rules, there were no protocols, there were none of that. My first clue was when I arrived at the Phoenix airport, and a lot of people were wearing masks, and I'm like, what's going on, because when we go together as a group into another country, we make good use of our time. We want to make sure that all of the time that we have is invested with excellences unto our Lord. And so we get pretty busy. We typically start out quite early and go quite late, so there's no television. So it was important that you understood that this occurred about that time. You'll understand more when I share in a minute. Hermosillo, Mexico is an industrial city of about 3 million people. It's less than a couple hours away from the beautiful Sea of Cortez, and you'll see that. You kind of see it up there. You'll see some more of it here in a minute. Hermosillo is also the home of the notorious Sinaloa drug cartel. our team here on the next slide is there were 10 of us from all over the country. Typically, there are men from other countries, but we had all Americans here. They were an interesting group of guys, and are all of them very successful in life. But here's what I would tell you. I don't know if I'd say successful by the world standards as much as I would say they were incredibly gifted in sharing the word of God. They were incredibly gifted in growing the kingdom. It was a privilege for me to be with these men. I also have the opportunity when you go into another country, you get to do what I'm doing today. You get to stand before the church and share with them. Here I am is at this, this is a little church. It wasn't a little church. It was pretty good size actually. it's called Iglesias de Dios La Viña. It was a blessing. We are given our assignments on Saturday as we arrive. I will tell you, giving a 15-minute message with the translator is not the easiest thing in the world to do if you've ever done that. But I had a little bit of a problem in this church. The pastor that day, that it wasn't the senior pastor that was going to be speaking that day. It was one of the younger pastors that he had the assignment of giving the message. And when I tell you this man was funny, I don't do it justice. He was incredibly funny, okay? There's a problem with that. There's a couple problems with that. The biggest one is everything was in Spanish. So what was happening was, you know, the whole church would erupt in laughter. I have no idea what's going on. My translator here, Jessica, then would just kind of whisper in my ear what he said, and I would start laughing. So you can imagine after like the second or third time, everybody's laughing, then they've kind of settled down. And so the pastor made some joke about me coming to church on the short bus or something like that. The church just fell apart. I had no idea what they were laughing about. So I had to explain. I really did get the joke the first time. I really did. But that was kind of funny. The opportunity we have to distribute scriptures is quite amazing. This one stood out a little bit for me because we had to get up about an hour earlier than normal, which is our 5 o'clock is normal for those of you who would ever want to do this. Because it took quite a ways to get. It was about an hour drive, and we had to get there early because we had a number of other assignments, and we had to coordinate scriptures at these various places. But this particular school is out in the middle of nowhere. When I say in the middle of nowhere, get to nowhere and keep going, and you're going to get close to where this school is. And it was a good-sized structure. It was all kind of fenced in, but I'm like, how do people get here? I mean, how do the kids get here? And one of the brothers with me said, oh, don't worry. They'll be here. You watch. And then I noticed just this sea of humanity started coming in all different directions and all different methods, walking, cars, motorcycles, bicycles, dozens and dozens of school buses. I mean, thousands of children. We needed quite a large team to deal with them and to be able to spend enough time with each of them. These young ladies wanted to have their picture taken with me, which is always fun. And then they wanted to sign their New Testaments to memorize. They wanted me to sign it also so that they could know who gave them these testaments. I met a guard at a middle school who was... he spoke very little English because he had lived for a short time in Massachusetts for a few years, and he said he wanted to talk to the American, and he began to share with me. I quickly understood his spiritual condition was rather fragile and shaken, and he wanted to share with me that he just didn't feel like he could be accepted by Christ because his sin was so great. And he began to share his sin, because I told him, brother, there is not a sin too great for man. I mean, the way I read the scripture, there's but one sin, denial of the Spirit. There's not another. that I'm aware of, nor am I in the sin grading business. And he proceeded to share his sin. Now, his sin's bad. It's bad. To God, all sin is bad. All of it. And so I proceeded to explain to him that, you know, Jesus said, I did not come to condemn the world, you know, so why are you condemning yourself? You know, and I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to tell you that Jesus loves you and he's willing to accept you when you get rid of all this stuff you got going on in your head. And then I gave him the word of God and I asked him to read specific scriptures. I then asked him what that meant when he read these scriptures, that all are sinners. All. There are none righteous. That's both of us. So who determines? Well, let's look and see what scripture says who determines. And we go on to talk about how if you just call upon his name, you shall be saved. If you believe on him and call upon his name. So he spoke of all these various sins. I couldn't share them in church, but I would tell you this. He now knows that there's no sin too great for him. Certainly nothing he conveyed to me. And I pray I'm going to see Christian Gonzalez in heaven one day as he committed his life to Jesus. My team was wonderful. The issue I had was the no habla inglés, okay? It was a bit of a problem because these guys were pretty busy guys too. Boy, they'd pick me up at 5:30 in the morning after our prayer time. We'd have our prayer time. They'd take me at 5:30. We'd load up our vehicles, grab a little something at the hotel, a little grab and go, and we would start working. And the first day, you know, they didn't stop for lunch. And I'm like, you know, I didn't want to say anything, you know, but it got on to be about 2 o'clock, and I'm just not built for that. It's just not the way it works, okay? And so I was using the Google Translator, and all I could think of was speaking into the translator, I cannot work under these conditions, okay? And as soon as they would hear condiciones, they first were looking, what's going on? I'm like, and then they got it, and so then they learned to take a break for the big boy every day, please. When we go out in mass, and I'll tell you, what we do is we essentially flood a particular area with scriptures, and we try to give a word of witness every chance we get. Often, it's so busy that it's so fast that you can't do that, and there are other times when you have just incredible divine appointments with people like I had with Christian, but they do work you like a rented mule, as I said up there. We had an opportunity to go to middle schools, high schools, the university there. One of the things about Mexico I thought was quite good, quite brilliant actually, they use their school facilities different than we do. Their schools will maybe be a middle school during up until about 2 in the afternoon, and then it'll be a high school from 2 until like 7 p.m. or what have you. So all of the schools were double duty. Now, there's good news and bad news. The bad news, if you're a Gideon, is you're going to be there at 6 in the morning, and you're going to be there at 7, 8 o'clock at night. And because we catch them coming in, we catch them going out, we catch them coming in and going out at the same time, and then we have our evening. But I just thought it was really wise how they use their facilities there. I think we could learn some lessons from some of the things that I saw there. I also want to just say, before I go bragging about how hard we worked, there's a little bit in it. I didn't exactly suffer here. As you can see, one of the things that I can tell you is the food is extremely good in Sonora, in Hermosillo, Sonora, Mexico. You have to like Mexican food, I guess, but I do. So it was all good. Now, I have been to Blitz's where that doesn't work out quite the same way, but here you can tell I might be a little happier than I should have been. You know, can I ask you something? Isn't it better when God has a better plan than you do? Anybody, can I get some amens on that, right? Let me share this next scripture. Or this next shot here. I'm with a bunch of men in a park. I had no business being in that park. I had no plan to be in that park. Let me explain what happened. We were going to a very large school, another one that was kind of out in the middle of nowhere. And this school was built like a fortress. It had like a gate out the front, fence on the inner perimeter. They had the buses inside this courtyard that was inside the outer gates. Then there was an inner gates to get to the principal and the school itself. It has a little bit to do with the drug cartels and kidnappings and such like that. So certainly they had security. We were able to kind of talk our way through the outer gates, and we made our way to the principal to explain that we wanted to distribute God's word to all of the children. He did not allow us to do that. And so we're leaving somewhat dejected, and there were 10 or 12 buses over there, and all the bus drivers were kind of standing together, and one of them comes over to us. He wanted to know what we were doing. Now, all of this is in Spanish. This is secondhand here because I didn't know what they were saying too much, but my brother proceeded to explain that we were kind of dejected because we were hoping to share God's word with all these children. He said, un momento, he goes back, he talks to his friends, he comes back and he explains to us that all of the children will be getting off in this little park in this little town about 5 miles away. And if you just go to the town center where the park is, set up your tables and Bibles there, we will bring them to you. Is that awesome or what? Okay. Not only did every child, thousands of children out of that school, we got them coming off the bus like this, okay? But in between the buses, because there were so many children, they had to drop off the children, go get another big bus group, and then come back and bring them again. In between, I noticed these guys. Let's go back to the previous one. I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. These guys were in the park, and the Lord told me, go preach Jesus to these men. He does that to me sometimes. He just tells me to go do things. I question him briefly, and then I go do it. So I had a young man who was my translator, and I proceeded to just introduce myself, and they asked me what I was doing here. I said, Jesus sent me to talk to you. And they started snickering among themselves and kind of talking, you know, Jesus, oh, sure, Jesus did that. I said, I'm pretty sure he did. I said, I just want to know how many of you are going to join me and join Jesus in heaven. How many are going to do that? And, you know, out of the eight, I think six of them said they were going to go to heaven, and two of them said, no way, I'm not going to heaven. And the six who, I just asked them all, you know, collectively, why would Jesus let you into heaven? And of course, I got a lot of answers. And Mexico is very much a Catholic by heritage culture. And so I got the kind of answers you would typically get. Oh, I hope so. Or I'm pretty sure. Or I don't know. Okay? And I had the opportunity to share the truth with these guys. And one of them, thankfully, said he thought he was going to heaven because he was so good. He's just really good. And I proceeded to say, well, brother, you'd probably be able to pass the good test then. And he looked at me kind of quizzically. I said, are you willing to take the good test? Now, he'd already made his statement out in front of all his pals, so he said, sure, I'll take the good test. I said, well, the rest of you, you think you're good enough to go to heaven? CC, no, no, no. CC, no, no. And so I shared the good test with him, and it's a simple thing. I just encourage you. It's part of some training that we do, and it's you can find it at the Way of the Master. But essentially, you're taking, it's livingwaters.com, is that right? Livingwaters.com. You are taking people through the Ten Commandments and really getting a true understanding of how good they are. And of course, there are none righteous. The Bible always tells us this. And within a few minutes, these eight men were kicking the ground and looking down at the ground, knowing they weren't good. They certainly weren't going to heaven as a result of being good. Amen. And that led to a brief period of prayer and repentance where six of those eight men received Jesus that day. Six of those eight men. In that same park, there were a group of young ladies there, and I had to, the opportunity. One of them wanted to practice her English. She had lived in Phoenix for a while, wanted to practice her English with her friends there. Her English was quite good. And of course, they all have scriptures there, as you can see, and they also all heard a little bit more about Jesus. What a wonderful thing when somebody comes up to you and wants to share and wants to talk, and you get an opportunity to share Jesus and see them come to the Lord. You know, I had that young man I told you who was my translator, and he said, he went home, his dad the next day said, you know, we have a little bit of an issue that happened last night. I said, tell me about it. He said, well, my son came home, and he has decided that he's being called as a pastor. And I said, that is tremendous news. Wonderful. He says, yeah. I said, why is he being called as a pastor? And he said, because what he witnessed in that park that day convinced him that's what he should be doing the rest of his life. And that was just such an honor and a blessing for me to hear this from them. And certainly his father was quite excited. There we go. In fact, that was a nice harvest, but we had life-changing moments pretty much everywhere we go. And, you know, I should pause here and just point out, this happens because of you. These things happen when people are receiving Jesus because of you, because of what you do to send us. You're very much a part of this. This church has been so faithful over the years for the Gideons. It's amazing. I couldn't begin to tell you the impact you've had, but I will tell you this, when you get to glory, you're gonna know the impact. You're gonna know the impact, and I'm gonna talk about that in a minute. But each of these people, I mean, I can name names. Heidi, that was in the Phoenix airport. You don't turn it off when you're in country. It happens coming and going. Anna Perez, I could go on and on. So many, our lives and eternity is shaped as a result of what you do to help us go. In each of these cases, understand, it's not the Gideon that did this. It's the Word of God, because they're asked to read from the Word of God and explain what it means to them. And through that discussion, they receive Jesus. You know, we're welcomed into schools, not all occasions, but for the most part. I was in a distribution in one area where I noticed there was a news crew that had pulled up a side of the road, and they were filming us. And it's a little awkward when you're standing there passing out Bibles and you got a guy, you know, 30 feet away and he's filming your activity. And we try to keep a low profile as Gideons. We're not really interested in people, you know, seeing and doing what we're doing, except the people we're doing it with, right? And as sure as it was on the news the next day and was posted in Facebook. And one thing about Facebook, I'm not a fan, I'll just tell you, but I will tell you this. It was very encouraging, because when they posted it in Facebook, my understanding was the brothers who came in for the prayer meeting the next day, because we need to report all these kind of public things that happen, proceeded to say that the responses from the community were like 99% favorable, because the way it was presented on the news was, these men shouldn't be doing this kind of thing, or they, you know, they're not doing it according to, you know, the proper permits, and it was all this nonsense, and the community just flamed them. I mean, flamed them to a point. That was it. Done. Finished. One comment was, "Would you rather be inundating their schools with drugs or with Bibles?" One of the pictures I'm going to show you here is the police station, and I wonder if anybody can tell me what they think is odd about this picture. Anybody think of anything that's a little odd? You might need to know a little bit about what's going on in Mexico to understand this. I didn't know it at the time, but I was told afterwards. The brothers who were with us were shocked, and amazed that these men allowed us to see their faces. Police in Mexico wear masks pretty much all the time, and to have strangers who they haven't met before come into the station and then reveal their faces is quite astonishing. But every time we saw police, we would see waves or you know, thumbs up from them. You know, our brave police this past year had a difficult year, right? You know, pretty crazy year in America and around the world. And I certainly don't want to, you know, compare necessarily our issues with those they have in Mexico, but the life expectancy of an honest cop in Mexico is measured in a very few short years. It's serious business there. And so it was a privilege to share scriptures with them and pray with them, and we do that across the world. The numbers are always fun to share. That's like reading an eye chart. I'm not going to go through that. I think the most important thing that I can share is right at the very bottom. Salvations. Our goal is one, because one changes the world. Amen. But we had so many we couldn't count. I mean, we couldn't. We started to try to keep track, and the, of course, value of that is priceless. We have pastor's banquets over there. Pastor Ron's been to a number of pastor banquets where we just love on our pastors, and it was not unlike here where we have our pastor's banquets. And what we do there, I think it's important that you know, is that's a time where Gideon's give. See, it would be a little bit disingenuous if I were to come in here with Floyd and Bruce and we'd just ask you to give. Just give us a love offering if we didn't do it ourselves. So we have a number of events during the year, like a pastor's banquet, where we give to also support the ministry. And 100% of what we give ends up going to the foreign lands, where some of what we give here today will go to help here in our Jerusalem as well, which is pretty important. You know, I thought the pastor's banquet was the culmination of our week together, but we took an Uber ride from the hotel where we had the pastor's banquet back to our hotel, and my brother Mitch Daniels and I had the opportunity to witness to Juan. And, you know, I asked Juan, "Do you go to church?" "No, senor, but my wife does, mi esposa." "Oh, okay. Where does she go to church?" And he proceeded, it was a Protestant, no Catholic goes to Protestant. His English was about as good as my Spanish, but we were able to communicate enough. And I was simply able to, I said, "So Juan, you're not going to church?" "No, senor." I said, "You know, Juan, I think you're going to run into a problem down the road here, brother." He said, "What's that?" I said, "Well, you know, you do know that your wife's going to spend eternity. The odds are she's going to spend eternity in a much different place than you." He said, "What? What do you mean?" And I proceeded to explain. "If indeed she is the saint you described her to be, she is going to heaven. And from what you've just shared with me in this brief time, brother, you're not. Is that okay with you?" "No, senor. What must I do?" I get out the word of God. We share the gospel. We share what it takes to surrender, to receive Jesus. And Juan, does he look happy? You know, let me tell you something. When I have the privilege to sit on the front row of Kingdom Expansion, it happens. I'm going to talk about that in a second. I'm looking for a couple things. What tells me, and I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it, what tells me that this is the Spirit of God is here. It's working. He's here. He's alive. It's happening now. I either see joy or I see contrite brokenness. Brokenness or joy? You know, those six men who accepted Jesus, all eight of them knew it was the right thing to do. The other two said, "I just got some things I got to work out in my life. Who knows?" They know the truth. That's on them, right? Four of them were crying. Did they look like a crying group to you? It didn't to me, okay? Pretty rough crowd. Brokenness. Brokenness or joy? That's what I tend to look for. It is also not so bad. Sometimes you get to do kind of cool things. We were able to go to the Sea of Cortez for a dinner. That was our view out of the hotel. That's pretty nice. If I were to go like to the right of where that little island is and look in the far distance, you can see the Baja Peninsula. It was quite nice. Our leader was a former Fulbright colonel in the Army, and he was, you know, everybody had to be right on time, and we had to explain, Brother Don, we're not going to make it tonight. We will be quite late. So I just want to say this. This is my brother Raphael, my partner. You don't have to go to Mexico. You don't have to go to Indonesia or India, those places. But we are called to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even into the ends of the earth. And if I could, I'm going to invite the praise team to come back up here. You guys kind of get situated. I'm going to close here in a second with a couple of points here. But before I do, I want to thank you for your years of faithfulness to the Gideons. Pastor Ron, thank you so much for your leadership. It's meant a lot. It will continue to mean a lot. And we take it very seriously when we have your support and what we do with it. But I want to speak a minute to the men here at First Church of God. None of what I just shared would have happened had my pastor not approved me to become a Gideon. None of that would have happened. In fact, I don't think, to my knowledge, that I was ever used to lead anyone to the Lord before I became a Gideon. I should probably be embarrassed by that, but it's the truth. But as I stand here today, I couldn't tell you how many. I couldn't tell you how many have received Jesus, and I get the opportunity to be there when it happens. It's amazing. This morning, I hope, is a little bit of a clarion call for some of the men in this church. You know, take a look at Bruce and Floyd and I. You know, we're getting pretty close to glory, the three of us, amen? Y'all had, okay, you don't have to amen and laugh so much, okay? We had Miss Liz King here. She's gone to glory. It's next man up time. It's next man up time. Nothing would make Ron feel better than to have yet another Gideon in his church. I'm putting words in your mouth, brother. I didn't ask permission. But I want to ask you today, are you fulfilling God's purpose for your life? Are you? Are you impacting the kingdom in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even into the ends of the earth? One of the great things about being a Gideon is the work that we do here in Venice. Some of the resources you're going to share today are going to end up in far lands. Some of them are going to end up in Mexico, I guess, our Samaria, I guess, right? Some of them are going to end up right here at a farmer's market, right here in a domestic abuse center, right here in a nursing home, right here in the hotels, right here at your schools. You know, the Gideon's International is a great ministry for a couple, wonderful for a couple. You know, the ladies are so important to our ministry and the distribution of God's word. They go where we can't go. We can't go to domestic abuse centers. We can't go to crisis pregnancy centers. There's parts of hospitals and nursing homes that we can't go. They can go. Women's jails and prisons, they can go. Brothers, I want to tell you, you know, we don't need your money. We need your sword. We need more First Church of God men in the Gideons because we're getting overrun with Baptists and Presbyterians. It's just ridiculous. So many of them. In fact, I have two sets of applications with me today. Two. Because I'm just trusting God. There's at least two men that the Lord's speaking to right now. Or maybe he's speaking to your wife. So like if your wife is like kicking you in the leg right now, it can mean one of two things. Either she's saying to you, don't you even think about taking on another ministry, you don't do it. Or she's telling you, I want you to go talk to Mr. Chuck, get one of those applications, because I won't be a Gideon too. Maybe that's what's happening. I'm trusting that. You see, we want to constantly bring folks into this ministry, and we do that because, look, we may need your wives more because there are so many doors opening that require a woman's heart that we can't deal with. I will speak to anybody who's interested. I know Pastor Ron will as well. Ron and Floyd and Bruce know how to get a hold of me. Be happy to share more about what that means. It doesn't mean you got to go across the world. Doesn't mean you got to stand up here and give a presentation like this. But we are going to coach you to engage the unchurched effectively for the faith of the gospel and compel them to come in the church. That's what we're going to do. It's going to mean something like it meant to me, like it meant to Trevor. I just told you, I hadn't led anybody to the Lord as best I can tell. I'm going to preach to the choir now because I like preaching to the choir. I hadn't led anybody to the Lord. Remember I said that? Now I can't count. I want you to think to yourself, how's that working for you? How's that working for you? Because we're going to stand before glory. We're going to give an account. Amen? And I think it's going to be a kind of a short one-way conversation. This is not biblical. This is Chuck's opinion. Be careful with this. But I think we're going to hear, what did you do with what I gave you? Who did you bring? Who did you bring? You want to be able to answer that question? I think you do. And how wonderful will it be for you when if that question were to come up, and you just go like this, you smile. That can be you. It can be all of us. You have that authority. Song today, you have that authority within you. It can happen. I encourage you. So we'll be out there. You can talk with us. But I just want you to know that service with the Gideons International will strengthen a man and woman's spiritual character, competency, and courage. It'll strengthen your marriage. It'll strengthen a Christ-centered life. Just let us have a shot at equipping you with the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Thank you, Pastor Ron. Thank you, church. God bless.